It's been nearly 20 months since the last major cruise ship sailed in Alaska. Tour operators and businesses that rely on seasonal income from passengers have had to hunker down and wait for their return. While state and federal COVID relief has helped to bridge the long off-season, many local economies are suffering as a result of the tourism drought. But there's light on the horizon. Vaccines are widely available, and large ships may be returning as soon as July. Will it be enough to help the state's struggling tourism industry? We'll discuss the return of cruise ships today on Talk of Alaska.
Funding for Talk of Alaska was made possible in part by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority and listeners just like you. Thank you.
And by
ConocoPhillips, investing in oil exploration and production and working to create economic opportunities for Alaskans. ConocoPhillips, unlocking Alaska's energy resources.
Alaska USA has been on a journey with Alaskans since their first member account was opened in 1948. They'll be with you every step of the way, through the challenges of today and the hopes of tomorrow. AlaskaUSA.org. This message sponsored by Alaska USA.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
You're listening to Talk of Alaska. I'm Adeline Baxter. Alaska sold nearly 1.2 million cruise ship passengers in 2019. That was a record-breaking year. Last year, the number was practically zero. So what will it take to get the industry back on its feet and bring needed cash to coastal towns? We have representatives from the state, a cruise line, and local communities here with us today to discuss how this tourism season will work. Brian Fisher is the acting director of the Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. Howard Sherman is an executive vice president of Norwegian Cruise Lines Holdings. And Fred Parody is the chief operating officer of Huna Totem Corporation, a Native Village corporation that owns and operates Icy Strait Point, a cruise ship destination. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Morning.
You can also join our discussion. Do you live in a port community? Are you eagerly awaiting the ship's return? Or do you have lingering concerns about the risks of bringing thousands of passengers to your town? Call us. The statewide number is 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. In Anchorage, the local number is 550-8422. And you can also email us, talkofalaska@alaskapublic.org. So to start off, let's get caught up on the situation. Just a few weeks ago, it seemed like Alaska wouldn't have a cruise season once again. Canada's ongoing port closure for large vessels meant that the ships could not come to Alaska. That's thanks to a century-old federal law. But that changed last week when President Joe Biden signed the Alaska Tourism Restoration Act. It temporarily overturns that requirement and allows ships to sail from Seattle directly to Southeast Alaska. Cruise lines still need to address the CDC's conditional sail order, a separate agreement signed by Norwegian Cruise Lines. The state, private, and local governments last week addresses many of those public health requirements, and we're going to talk about some of those now. So, Brian, if we can start with you, what is the agreement that was signed last week by the state, Norwegian Cruise Lines, and some of the public and private stakeholders throughout Southeast?
Thanks, Adeline. So, as you mentioned, there is a requirement from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It's really called the Framework for Conditional Sailing Order. And as part of that framework, a requirement of CDC, while we're still in the pandemic, was for cruise lines, port communities, local and state health authorities to come to agreements on a set of protocols and plans to respond, first to demonstrate how we're going to keep COVID off of vessels, and then if COVID does show up, how we were going to respond and take care of those patients and prevent outbreaks on the vessels and prevent the introduction of COVID from cruise ship passengers or crew into our communities in Southeast Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, Howard, what were some of the CDC restrictions when it came to cruise ships sailing in Southeast communities and, well, I guess any American port communities?
Well, the CDC is taking a multi-variable approach, I guess, because the easiest approach with them is to have your ship be 95% vaccinated for passengers and 98% for crew. For Norwegian, we actually want to go above and beyond that. We're going to be 100% vaccinated for passengers and 100% vaccinated for crew. And then under that avenue, they're far less restrictive than if you want to try to operate a ship with less than 95% vaccinations. And so there's a number of protocols that we will have to employ. And there are things like Brian just mentioned about how do we deal with COVID cases if they happen to come up during the sailing. Mm-hmm. What do we do with those passengers? How do they burden or not burden the local communities? Or, you know, exactly what does the cruise line do with those people?
Right. Okay. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But right now, so when did Norwegian submit its proposal to the CDC? And when do you expect to hear back on approval?
So we submitted the agreement with this, that we have with the state and with the local port communities this past Friday. And they've committed to within 5 business days. Of course, we had Memorial Day yesterday. So it could be, you know, late this week or by Monday of next week, I would guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so if everything goes smoothly, everything is approved, when would Norwegian ships be starting to sail?
We would start the first week of August on a test cruise. That's not something that's mandated by the CDC. That's just us, you know, making sure all the light switches turn on and everything else on the ship the first week of August. And then we would start our first revenue sailing on August 7th out of Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then is the season going to be set beyond that, or is it going to be sort of taken with case by case how things are going in terms of breakthrough cases? Do you know when the season will end?
The season, I think, is through around October 20th.
Okay. So, Brian, back to you. How does this multiport agreement with Norwegian Cruise Lines set the stage for how other cruise lines will be returning to Southeast Alaska?
So, thanks, Adeline. And I did want to say, I guess, first and foremost, my appreciation for Hunatoda Corporation, for Norwegian Cruise Line and Norwegian Cruise Line Holding. They approached the state of Alaska a couple of months ago, and like you stated at the top, it wasn't looking real good for the return of a cruise season this year in 2021, but Norwegian committed the potential for one of their vessels, the Bliss, to sail to Alaska. So they communicated with us at the state and with our local port communities very early on with the desire to put the protocols in place should we be able to overcome issues like sailing and stopping in Canada, that kind of thing. So really, they were the first that approached us. And since that point, we have been working, you know, pretty much day and night trying to finalize that agreement, make sure that, you know, attorneys on both sides and the cruise line, us as the state and local health authority and our port communities, most importantly, we're comfortable with the plan moving forward to try to, you know, bring back the economy. It's very important to us. You know, economic health is just as much a factor in overall public health as, you know, being safe and protected from the virus. So we really started with an agreement with Norwegian, and we turned that into really a multi-port agreement. So all ports are on the same, kind of on the same sheet of music. And we also had good conversations with all the port communities in Southeast, and we kind of all agreed to use this first agreement as a template for all other cruise lines and all other port communities that may see sailings this year. So it was just an amazing collaborative experience between all of the industry, state and local health folks, and then all of our port communities and harbor masters and port directors, and then our private docks around the state as well. So everybody was there was no pride in authorship. We all contributed to make a really good document that we think CDC is going to be impressed with. And so it's really a very similar agreement for every other cruise line. And we're in the works with 2, 3, or 4 other agreements that we're hopeful to be able to sign by the end of the week this week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Fred, let's get your perspective in here. Fred Parody, Chief Operating Officer of Hunatoda Corp. So Hunatoda Corporation owns and operates Icy Strait Point. That's outside of the community of Huna in Southeast Alaska. Fred, can you tell us a little bit about how the working relationship with NCL has worked during the entirety of the pandemic, really with trying to figure out how to get cruise season going again?
Well, our working relationship with Norwegian, as well as the other cruise lines, is strong. And sustainable tourism is the foundation of Hoonah's economy. If you look at Hoonah Totem Corporation, we are the village corp for the community city of Hoonah. And we have been involved in building our tourism business since probably the late 1990s when we acquired the original cannery in town and then began accepting visitors lightered from ships in 2004, built our first dock in 2015, just finished building our second dock now. And so we're at a point in the development of Icy Strait Point where in the summers we employ upwards of 240 people. The absence of cruise ships has just been incredibly difficult to the city and to our company. As we worked our way through the pandemic, of course, we took the necessary protocols to keep the community safe. The city of Hoonah and the Hoonah Indian Association, the tribe, have remarkably managed the pandemic locally. We recently had a couple cases, but our wastewater is checked weekly for COVID, and everyone that visits the community has got to go through the quarantine protocols or be vaccinated. And we've managed over the course of the past year, I think it's less than a dozen cases in total across the entire community. So working with Norwegian to restart, it helped that Norwegian's commitment to vaccinated sailings. We started out with this agreement as a single port agreement, just Hoonah, the state, the city, and Norwegian. And then we broadened it to be multi-port as we came forward with vaccination rates across the country, et cetera. And the essence of that agreement is just the specifics of the schedule. Norwegian's going to bring one ship a week. The essence of the protocols for medical and transportation and housing. Norwegian is committed to handling everything associated with their ship and their crew and their guests with onboard quarantine or transportation out of the community. And we're ready to receive ships the first week of August and go forward. My favorite statistic for our community from 2019 when we were last in full operation was there were 32 kids in the high school and 27 of them worked for us. We're 80% local and native hire, and our community is supportive and dependent on tourism. And so having the ability to work with Norwegian and craft an agreement that works for them, works for us, and works for the CDC was a foundation to the restart of the system. And finally, in closing, I want to do a quick shout out to Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan, and Representative Young. Passing the Alaska Tourism Restoration Act was just a remarkable legislative achievement. You got that bill through both houses on a unanimous consent basis and onto the president's desk and signed. And that century-old law, the Passenger Vessel Safety Act, is really antiquated, and this case has highlighted the need to modernize it. But in the meantime, we got a waiver such that we could take ships directly from Seattle without touching base in Canada, which allows us to restart the system. And our congressional delegation, our governor's office, were remarkably successful in getting that going. So the stage is set. Now we got to deliver on what needs to be done in order to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Fred, being that Hoonah is such a small and, you know, geographically isolated community, what are some of the things you're going to be looking for as the ships dock and as the season progresses in terms of, you know, gauging public health in the community?
So we have a director of sustainability, Erica Trehazel, who is a master's in public health. And we have written our port protocols for operating once the ship comes in. And, for example, all of our tours and all of our restaurants, we have three levels, red, yellow, green, where the protocols for sanitation and cleaning, they're very specific as to our practices on site as we welcome guests to our site. We're very excited for the start of the season. Norwegian has invested in our site. We have a new dock, the Wilderness Landing, new uplands, and a gondola system, and that gondola system will move guests from our new dock to our cannery and old dock in 8-person cars, and we're going to be able to sanitize those cars as they come in to pick up passengers, and so essentially run a little mini bubble system, 8 people to a car, so a family unit or a group, and move them to the cannery. So we're excited to get that operation underway, and we're well prepared and well trained, and now we're moving towards hiring staff and getting ready to make it work.
Mm-hmm. And you said the 80% or so of your staffing comes from HUNA, the community. Are those typical people that you would employ, are they ready to go, or have they, you know, had to find other employment in the meantime? Are you worried about being able to staff up so quickly?
I don't think worried is the right word, but it's going to take a lot of work and effort. Yes, people have found other jobs. Yes, there are people in the community who have made it through with some of the extra federal assistance and unemployment assistance. Of course, Norwegian contributed greatly to the region. They had a $10 million program. $2 million went to the city of HUNA to help the community prepare and survive through the pandemic. And so I would not say we're worried. I'd say we're eager to get to work, and we've begun the hiring process and the training process as we get ready to restart. And, of course, restarting for a partial season with our staffing won't reach full levels, but we're excited to get going. It's a bridge to 2022, which is what the key need is.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, and Howard, you know, you can't sail a cruise ship without passengers. So how are bookings looking right now? What are you seeing? And does it seem like cruise ship tourists want to get back on the boats?
Yeah. And, you know, specifically for Alaska, as Brian alluded to, we had held a ship aside with the idea that even though it seemed increasingly unlikely that we would be able to operate a season as we got further into this year, we kept working towards that possibility. And so what I mean by that is we never canceled those sailings from August forward. So we have existing passengers, you know, on the books for those sailings. And there's additional cabins to sell, but the bookings are going very well for those sailings. For 2022 forward, we're really way beyond any sort of booking activity we've ever seen. I think more than 50% more booked for 2022 than we have been at this point of the year at any prior year. So the demand is really off the charts. You know, I think people have been stuck at home for quite some time, and they're eager to reengage with the world and to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it couldn't be better.
And I believe you told me no Norwegian Cruise Line ships are sailing at the moment, but there will be some Caribbean cruises departing in the next month or so. Is that right?
We're starting in Athens at the end of July, and then Seattle is the next sailing on August 7th. And then we start out of Miami, then Barcelona, then Rome.
Okay. And so can you tell us a little bit what will be different about the experience for cruise ship passengers this year? You mentioned that Norwegian is going to require 100% vaccination, so obviously that restricts who can sail to a certain extent, but then what will the experience be like on the cruise ships?
You know, and that's an evolving answer because we are having twice weekly calls with the CDC, and so we're getting updated guidance from them all the time, and so we expect that answer to be different in July than it is today, for instance. But it's already looking like for the fully vaccinated ships, it's going to be much more like the experience people were used to in 2019. In terms of masks, whether it's indoor or outdoor, they will be optional. They might be recommended, but they won't be required, for instance. You will still be able to have passenger buffets now at this point. And part of the reason for that is, and the data that the CDC is getting and they're imparting to us, is that for the fully vaccinated populations, the number of breakthrough cases is really so small that this is just viewed as a very safe activity at this point.
Mm-hmm. And have you encountered much opposition among passengers or prospective passengers to the vaccination rules? And also, if you could tell us how you will be verifying that.
Yeah, we haven't gotten a lot of negative feedback ourselves. I've seen more in the media than we've gotten calls into our own, passenger services department or any other avenues or on social media. That's ours. So I know it's an issue that's out there. But right now, what you're seeing is the people that are reengaging with cruising are the people that are very excited to cruise. And so they're not seeing that as a huge barrier. At least that's what we're seeing so far. And I think, you know, as I said, things will be different in July and things will be different in October in a way that's unknowable to any of us now. And we'll see how it goes on. You know, I think if you're a year from now and you're still requiring everyone to be vaccinated, that might become a more of a hurdle to fill all the ships that are out there in the cruise industry fleets. But at least, you know, with the initial slow startup, it hasn't become an issue to us at all. I'm sorry, what was your follow-up question?
The verification of vaccination. Will you be requiring people to show you their cards?
Yeah, so that'll either it'll either be, you know, uploaded and sent to us online, or you can show it to us at time of embarkation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and Brian, I want to get back to you. One of the key aspects of the CDC's conditional sale order involved medical facilities in port communities and making sure that they were prepared for the event of breakthrough cases in vaccinated guests or other types of outbreaks. Tell us why that was a concern for Alaska.
So thanks, Adeline. Yeah, so we started this process really in earnest last August with the CDC. They had sent out a request for information from state health officials.
Brian, did we lose you there? You might have muted yourself.
Yeah. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's all right. Yeah,
so thanks. I was saying we really started this process in earnest in August last year, where we communicated the CDC had a request for information about the no-sale order that was in place at the time. And the governor directed us to work very closely with CDC. And our bottom line, like in many cases in Alaska, we had said, you know, Alaska is unique. You know, when we say unique, we mean unique up here. We have our own set of challenges and opportunities up here. One of those being very, very limited medical and healthcare capacity in some of our small Southeast Alaska port communities. So in order to address that, working with Norwegian, the Cruise Line International Association in Alaska up here, and the local communities, we wanted to make sure that there was a way to handle, you know, an unforeseen circumstance, and this was really even before the vaccinations were available to everybody, how to deal with that. You know, we couldn't take an entire cruise ship worth of people that had COVID and manage those in any of our communities in the state. So the cruise lines, as they have this entire time through this pandemic, really stepped up to the plate. They've increased their capacity for medical treatment and care on the vessels themselves. Most lines, Norwegian included, is planning, if they do have a small outbreak, and we think the possibility is very, very remote, but even because of the vaccination. But if they do have an outbreak, they're looking at really turning the vessel around and taking it back to the home port of Seattle, where there's a much more robust healthcare infrastructure to be able to take care of those things. We'd also asked, those that wanted to have contingency plans in place for medevac or air ambulance services, we asked them to contract with local Alaska air ambulance carriers that have planes and flight crews, medic crews in Southeast Alaska, to be able to, you know, take patients that needed a higher level of care out of state in a contingency scenario. So, and then a number of lines are also looking at, a third contingency, if you will, for example, with Bartlett Regional Hospital and Juneau and Peace Health in Ketchikan, to just make sure that those protocols are in place. If some really weird circumstance happened, then they needed to offload a passenger or crew person to be treated locally, that those things will be in place. So there was that was all good news for our local communities. The Alaska Department of Health and Social Services is acting as the local health authority for many of our communities who don't have that in their charter and ordinances. And with that advice and everything that the cruise industry is doing to make sure that they're able to take care and have safe sailings for their crew and their passengers, that plus the vaccinations really, really added a big level of comfort to all of us that first, we're not going to see cases. We don't expect to see any, and maybe one or two, but very rare. They won't turn into outbreaks. But if we do have cases, we are all very well prepared to be able to respond to that and not overwhelm our healthcare systems in Southeast Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you, Brian. And we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the health and safety standards that we will be seeing this summer with cruise season. And we will talk more with Norwegian Cruise Lines Holdings Executive Howard Sherman and Acting Director of the Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, Brian Fisher, as well as Fred Parody, Chief Operating Officer of Huna Totem Corp. And we will also be hearing from the mayor of Skagway later on in the show. But we also want to hear from you. Do you own a seasonal business that relies on tourism? How did you fare over the past year, and what are you anticipating this summer? Will it be enough to get you through to 2022? Call in and share your thoughts. The statewide number is 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-8255. The local number, if you're in Anchorage, is 550-8422. And, of course, you can email us at talkofalaska@alaskapublic.org. We'll be back shortly.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Reading colors your world. This summer, help the children in your life develop lifelong habits and a love of reading by signing up for your local library's summer reading program. They'll stay engaged with literacy and learning activities, track their progress all summer long, and can even earn prizes. Visit your local library's website for more information. This message sponsored by the Alaska Library Network.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm your host, Adeline Baxter. With me on the line are Norwegian Cruise Lines Holding Executive Howard Sherman, Acting Director of the Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, Brian Fisher, Fred Parody, Chief Operating Officer for Huna Totem Corporation, and we also have Andrew Cremata, the Mayor of Skagway, with us now. Thanks for being here, Andrew. So, Fred, getting back to you, and then I want to bring in Andrew, just give us a little bit of a glimpse of, you know, what the financial impact of no visitor industry last year and for half of this summer has been in Huna, and what is this truncated kind of season that we're going to see this year going to do in terms of, you know, addressing that, and will it be enough for Icy Strait Point?
The short answer is yes, it'll be enough because you have to adjust your business practices to your economic circumstances and make things work. It's no doubt about it. It's been a tough year for the city of Huna, a tough year for Icy Strait Point, Huna Totem Corporation, and for the members of our community that count on their employment to underpin their families. We've all managed to band-aid our way through, if you will, with, of course, you hunkered down, squeezed down on spending. We didn't hire our seasonal workforce. We had furloughs amongst our long-term workforce. We deferred capital, delayed spending to the greatest degree possible, tightened down on site maintenance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For the city of Huna, their revenues come to about $7.2 million a year from the cruise industry, the cruise ships that visit. That's not just Norwegian, that's all. But, you know, 85-90% of the city's tax base is tied to tourism. So the grant that came in from Norwegian, $2 million, certainly helped bridge that gap. So did the funds that came from the CARES Act and its several iterations, et cetera. So I think we're making it through. But going as it is right now, we're at 18, 19, 20 months without a ship. And getting a ship in August is definitely a bridge to 2022. Going 31 months without a ship would have been even more devastating than it was. Mm-hmm. So the breakthrough on the 2021 season is just incredibly valuable and meaningful to the city, to Hunedin, and to our employees.
And Andrew Cremata, mayor of Skagway, I want to pose the same question to you. Skagway has similar issues as other port communities in Alaska in terms of the lack of cruise ships, but then you also have had a border closure with Canada as well, which restricts independent travelers and any additional tourism you might have seen.
Absolutely. You know, it can't be overemphasized either. I think if you were to talk to municipal leaders in the past, you would have heard a number of people say the fallback plan in a scenario where we don't get cruise ships would be to, you know, get more independent traffic to come down on the highway. So the border closure has made a bad situation significantly worse. I'm less concerned with the municipality. You know, we've had a reserves that we were able to draw on, and obviously benefited from the CARES Act, also from the donation of the Norwegian Cruise Line, like Fred mentioned. But I'm more concerned in the short and long term here in Skagway that people start moving away. People want to work. They want to have, you know, meaningful work in their lives. And, you know, the prospect of not having any kind of real economy here until, you know, May of next year is also significant. Getting ships this year is definitely huge. You know, but I have stressed with people that we really don't know how this is all going to shake out just yet. We're not sure how many ships are coming, how many passengers are going to be aboard those ships. It's really important for business owners who may rely on a certain a seasonal workforce. They bring a certain number of people from the lower 48. They have to purchase insurance. They have to go through all these steps. I've been urging caution locally. Let's wait and see. Maybe by mid-June we have a better idea of who's coming and how many people are coming, and then, you know, we can pivot accordingly. But anything is better than nothing, and, you know, there's also a slim chance that the border could open as well. So like I say, Skagway is going to be okay. The question is how much attrition are we going to suffer before things are fully right again in 2022. That remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm. And Fred, I don't want to keep you too much longer, but, you know, from Hunedin's perspective, are there any other lingering concerns, at least whether this summer or in preparation for next year? How confident are you that things will come back to 2019 levels in 2022?
That is a great question, Adeline. And I think that 2022 is, as Howard described, the pent-up demand that's out there, I think it's going to come roaring back to life, assuming we continue our trajectory of vaccinations and having the pandemic under greater control. For 2021, I think we're excited to have the challenges of restarting. You know, everything in Alaska and is logistics, and so the mechanics of getting our restaurants reopened and getting all our supplies laid in and getting ready to welcome guests. There's just a lot of work to be done, and we're happy to have that work in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Fred. And we want to go to the phones right now. We have Susan in Bethel with a suggestion. Hi, Susan. You're on Talk of Alaska.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is an idea that involves some pivoting, but you see a lot of commercials, us Alaskans, about exploring Alaska. Get to see the state. It's a big state, and nobody's seen it all. So, and a lot of people on the road system, Anchorage and Matsu Valley and Kenai and all that, never seen Southeast Alaska. And with the situation in Canada, I'm not having cruises to August. I don't know if this is feasible for an idea for July. Is put a cruise ship in Seward, and we drive there, us Alaskans on the mainland. Drive there or take the train from Anchorage to Seward. That's an awesome train ride. Catch the boat in Seward, see Southeast Alaska, go back to Seward. We get to see Southeast Alaska. Southeast Alaska gets some business. And this could also tie in with an incentive to get vaccinated, because only vaccinated people are required are eligible to go on the cruise ship. So I don't know. I was just thinking of an idea of a cruise ship coming out of Seward to Southeast Alaska and letting Alaskans enjoy seeing Southeast Alaska. And that's just an idea, and I don't know how feasible or how quick something like that could start. But with that block in Canada and not having cruises to August, I don't know if this would work for July. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that, Susan, and I certainly love that idea. I would love to take a cruise out of Seward. Who wouldn't? But, yeah, I guess the question there is where the ship would come from, which line. And my understanding, Howard, maybe you can tell me, I don't believe that Norwegian, well, correct me if I'm wrong, does Norwegian ever sail to Seward or Anchorage? Because my understanding is that the South Central cruise ship destinations will be dry this year because of the lack of a Canada port to stop at.
Yeah, we do on, because we have three cruise lines as part of our company, Norwegian Cruise Line, Oceania Cruise Line, and Regent Cruise Line. And Oceania and Regent do go to Seward. They won't be operating this year in Alaska. But yeah, it's certainly an interesting idea. You know, we have just one ship in Alaska, and it's fully booked at this point, but it'd be great if someone could operate that cruise as she described.
Yeah, and it also brings up the point that while Southeast Alaska is going to see somewhat of a visitor industry this summer, South Central will not be seeing cruise ships. Some of the other more remote parts of the state, I believe, Dutch Harbor typically sees a few ships. Nome will even see a few smaller ships on occasion. So, Brian, maybe we can talk a little bit now about some of the state's tourism sort of targeting in other parts of the economy. So in South Central and some of the areas that we just mentioned that won't see ships this year, the state recently relaunched its Show Up for Alaska campaign in partnership with the Alaska Travel Industry Association. We have a clip of one of the ads for that campaign. Here's Governor Dunleavy.
This is the place to come if you want to see glaciers, whales, moose, pan for gold, you name it. Alaska is the place. So come visit our great state. We look forward to having you.
So, Brian, can you tell us a little bit, how is the state trying to capitalize on independent travelers this summer, in addition to also getting cruise ship tourism going again in Southeast?
Sure. Thanks, Adeline. And you know, we really did start last summer as well when you know, the cruise industry was completely shut down, unfortunately, due to the pandemic. We've really been working directly with the Alaska Travel Industry Association and their members kind of from the very beginning of the pandemic back in early March of last year. And last summer, and Susan brought up a great point, we really heavily advertised last year, you know, now was the time for Alaskans to see Alaskans. We weren't getting a lot of tourist stuff from the lower 48 or internationally, and it was a great time to get out and see Alaska for some people, you know, for the first time that may live in urban Alaska to get out. So this year, a number of things happening. I think the first and foremost was the Sleeves Up for Summer and our vaccination campaign. Our rates were some of the highest in the country very early on when the vaccine became available. We made a commitment to vaccinate as many Alaskans as we could through the month of May and now through the rest of the summer to make sure that, you know, that's a marketing point that we're safe here in Alaska because there is such a high rate of vaccinations, particularly in many areas of Southeast Alaska and in rural Alaska. Everybody's doing a great job. Today marks the official start of our airport vaccination program. So not only have we been vaccinating Alaskans, and now we're vaccinating young men and women from ages 12 to 15, but we have enough vaccine available to be able to offer vaccine to folks that come to Alaska. So kind of a bonus, if you will. Come see this beautiful state, like the governor said, and if you didn't have the opportunity to be vaccinated in your home state, then get vaccinated when you come here and go through the airport. So everything, we're really trying to do a lot to move forward in the vaccination space because we really do think that that's, you know, that's really the key to safety moving forward. The other thing is the governor has announced a number of programs. We all just heard that one of the advertisements that's out there, huge marketing campaign in the country to be able to encourage folks to come up here, to be able to demonstrate, and I think we can with our data and statistics, but you know, really to market how safe Alaska is. You know, during the pandemic, we were urging everybody to get outdoors and play and see Alaska, you know, safely outside. And this is really the state that folks want to do that. And, you know, Howard said there's a lot of pent-up eagerness for return to cruising, for people to do that bucket list trip to visit us up here. And we're looking forward to all of that. The Alaska Department of Health and Social Services last week just announced another program, a grant program for summer camps and summer school daycare grants, partnered with some non-governmental organizations to be able to support the workforce in returning to work. You know, daycare and summer camps, things like that, were really different last summer. And this summer, we want to spur that part of the economy to make sure that adults with children that need care throughout the summer have an opportunity to do that so they can get back to work. And you know, a lot of those jobs are in the tourism sector, and it's looking very encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And based on some of the reporting that we've seen around the state, it does seem like independent travel is doing pretty well right now. It's pretty much impossible to get a rental car from what I hear. I've got people coming into the state and asking if they can rent my car. So I know that it's tough out there.
My son is working at a lodge about 60 miles southeast of King Salmon for the summer, flying and guiding and packing for hunters and fishermen, and they're booked solid the entire summer, and it's just great to see that kind of independent tourism happening as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and weighing while the state is obviously trying to jumpstart the economy and trying to encourage tourism, what about these scenarios like we recently saw in Ketchikan, where there was a local outbreak? How will that be addressed, especially with cruise ships coming there? Potentially, will that be up to the lines? Will that be up to the community about whether to allow them to disembark?
So I really think one of the beautiful things about what we have been able to put together for the cruise season this year is that it's not just one entity that's in this that will make those decisions. It's really a collaborative process and open communication with local communities and the healthcare providers in that community, with the lines, you know, with cruise line agencies of Alaska, the port folks, really everybody communicating. And then, of course, we'll be, you know, regulated, if you will, by CDC if we see cases. But we saw a lot of great perspective in the last year and a half with the fishing industry, where communities and healthcare providers, the state, the industry themselves, and their medical providers all worked together. When we saw cases, we attacked them very, very quickly to try to contain the outbreak as much as we could, to first and foremost care for the patients who may be ill, and then to make sure that we weren't introducing COVID through that particular space into a community. And that model was very, very successful with the fishing industry, and we expect it to be just as successful this summer with the cruise industry.
Mm-hmm. And I want to point out that I just had a message via email from Jeffrey, and he pointed out that to Susan's suggestion that a cruise ship sail from Seward into Southeast, there is, of course, the Alaska Marine Highway System, and he, Jeffrey, will be taking the ferry from Whittier to Juneau with his kayak later this summer. So that's a very good point, Jeffrey. Of course, ferries exist and the Marine Highway exists, and people can take advantage of that this summer if they would like to explore other coastal parts of the state. We are going to take another break very quickly. When we come back, we will talk more with Andrew Kamada, the mayor of Skagway, also Norwegian Cruise Line's holding executive, Howard Sherman, and the acting director of the Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, Brian Fisher. And remember, we also want to hear from our fellow Alaskans and what remaining questions you have as we start up cruising again in Alaska. The statewide number is 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-8255. The local number, if you're in Anchorage, is 550-8422, and you can always email us talkofalaska@alaskapublic.org.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Alaska USA has been on a journey with Alaskans since their first member account was opened in 1948. They'll be with you every step of the way, through the challenges of today and the hopes of tomorrow. AlaskaUSA.org. This message sponsored by Alaska USA.
And welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm Adeline Baxter. My guests today are Howard Sherman, Executive Vice President for Norwegian Cruise Lines Holdings, Brian Fisher, Acting Director, Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, and we have Andrew Cremata, the mayor of Skagway, on the line. So, Andrew, I want to get back to Skagway. It's a community of a little over 1,000 people. What impact did the no-ship season of 2020 have on the community in terms of businesses, but also local tax base?
Well, it had a pretty devastating effect. You estimated that we lost somewhere around 95% of our municipal revenue. So we did have money to fall back on. We also, you know, had CARES Act money. And, you know, what we did in Skagway with the CARES Act money was take almost the entire amount and put it right back into the community. We wanted to stimulate the economy here since we had no money coming in to any of the businesses here. So we did $1,000 payments from, I think it was June through December, for every resident in town so that people could go out, they could get a burger, they could just pay for their bills, you know, which was the most important part of it. But also, you know, it was a key thing we identified, the assembly here identified, was that we need to keep people here. So Skagway does have this core 1,000 person approximately year-round residency. And then in the season, the cruise ship season, you know, another couple thousand people come into the community to work seasonally. And, you know, as the 18th most visited cruise ship port in the world, we have to have infrastructure that can support people coming off of the cruise ships, independent travelers, to the tune of maybe 20 to 23,000 people on any given day during the summer. So Skagway is very unique in that way, and it does escape a lot of people. So when you talk about a 95% decrease in revenue, it's significant, far more significant than you would expect for a typical, you know, small 1,000-person community. But, you know, fortunately, I felt like the assembly did a really good job here of pivoting in a forward manner and a proactive way to keep people here. We did see a little bit of attrition as far as the population goes, but for the most part, you know, we've remained intact. You know, on top of that, you had a resident population that was dealing with not only the strain of potentially losing their livelihoods, but also the general strain of dealing with a global pandemic in a small community. And that was something we had to deal with as well. But, you know, I've been really proud of our community. I think we've come out on this end of it still, you know, looking toward a little bit brighter future right now. We see that silver lining in a, you know, truncated partial cruise ship season here in August and September. But at least it is that silver lining, you know, a way to look forward to May of 2022 and start hoping for the best as opposed to just constantly preparing for the worst. I think, you know, my take on it throughout this whole pandemic has been the more we try to plan for anything too far in the future, the more we ended up kind of wishing we had just been a little more patient. So we're exercising a lot of patience, doing what we've been doing for the past year and however many months, preparing for, you know, whatever comes our way. But, you know, like I say, silver linings are good. We're really happy to see so many cruise ship companies engaged in trying to make a season happen, and especially our elected representatives doing their part to make sure that can happen.
Right. And as far as the multi-port agreement between Norwegian and some of the Southeast communities goes, Skagway's assembly will need to approve that agreement in the coming month or so before the ships can arrive?
Indeed. And I foresee that happening on June 17th. We're going to do something very similar to what Juno did. We're going to bring forward a resolution that gives our manager the latitude to sign those agreements. However, I know the assembly is, you know, rightfully so, going to want to be able to see those agreements before that signature goes into place. So we got a good look at that draft, and, you know, Fred has been working really hard to get this thing done as quickly as possible with the Norwegian Cruise Line representatives. We were able to get a draft in our hands, you know, last week. We've got it to our attorney. We've got a few little tweaks we're going to make to it. So I don't see any issue with getting the port agreements done from our perspective. We were prepared for this turn of events in Skagway, and I know the other port communities were as well, because we've been meeting together for well over 6 months and talking about how all this would shake down if and when the cruise ship companies were able to make this happen and the workaround was put in place for the PVSA. So you know, I'm really happy to have been a part of that, because to see how much work has gone into it and now it actually gets to fruit, I think that's a really big positive thing. And there's one huge silver lining to all of this, is that the amount of communication that, you know, we've been able to have as port communities in Southeast Alaska probably would have never happened without the pandemic. And able to forge some really good relationships with the other port communities, and I appreciate all of their hard work on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like we have another caller on the line. Trevor is calling from Healy. Hi, Trevor. You're on Talk of Alaska.
Hello. I have a comment and a question.
Okay,
I don't know if the cruise line is ready for this one, but I know somebody that downloaded a vaccination card and filled in dates that said they were vaccinated just so they can eat in restaurants. And I wonder if they have a way to prove vaccinations, you know, a trust but verify type thing.
Right.
And it's worth considering, that's all. That's my comment. It's worth considering.
Okay. Well, thanks, Trevor. I think, Howard did address that a little bit earlier about it as far as verifying vaccination cards. And we had talked a little bit before the show about, you know, it's not terribly common at this point forging vaccines, but is there a way to be sure that the vaccine card being shown is definitely the one that belongs to that person, Howard, as far as you know?
Not that I'm aware of. I think if someone were, you know, truly wanted to forge, I don't think it's that difficult to do. The other thing we're doing is we're going to be doing antigen testing at the pier before boarding. So that would, you know, that really would cover anyone who had COVID at that time as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And once again, the statewide number, if you have any lingering questions for our guest today, is 1-800-478-8255. The local number, if you're in Anchorage, is 550-8422. We just have a few minutes left. Howard, you know, if all goes well this season, and how much is that going to dictate how strongly Norwegian and probably by extension other cruise lines are able to return in 2022. Do you think that's, you know, how are things like booster shots for the vaccine and all of those going to play in?
Yeah, and someone said it a little while ago, but I think it's Mayor Cremata. But trying to plan far out at this point tends to make fools of all of us. Mm. But, we certainly anticipate, if all goes well, for us to be back in 2022 with the same number of ships that we had in 2019. And, you know, we expect to have another very successful season.
Mm-hmm. And, Andrew, same question from your sort of municipal perspective. How closely will you be watching how things go this season in preparation for potentially the same numbers we saw in 2019 next year?
Well, you know, all of us here in Skagway, me included, the manager of the assembly, we are all highly dedicated to making sure that we are constantly on top of this situation so that whatever comes our way in 2022, we're ready for it. Like I say, it's not something that we do by ourselves here in Skagway. It's, you know, with the help of the other port communities and with the cruise lines. Like, we've developed really good relationships with them. You know, I take a more guarded approach to everything. I always say, let's wait and see before we, you know, start, you know, sticking the flag in the ground and claiming that we're going to have anything in the future, because we just don't know. And so, you know, by doing that, you know, my personality is I'd rather have tempered expectations and be pleasantly surprised. And I don't want business owners who have to come to a very remote part of Alaska to set up shop to start anticipating that we're going to have cruise ship season that's the best we've ever seen, because there are so many variables that we just don't know at this point. But that being said, we're all hopeful. Obviously, we want the best for our community and the best for our business owners. We're going to do everything in our power to make sure that it is the best cruise ship season that we've ever had historically.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Brian, you know, we just said the, you know, sort of waste that is planning ahead for what's going to happen in the future. But do you expect these multi-port agreements to hold into next year's season, or do you think that might evolve?
I think it might evolve. I mean,
Oh, sorry, Brian, go ahead there, and then we'll get you in there, Andrew.
Oh, thanks, Mayor Cremata. So, yeah, it's really hard to say right now. You know, it's going to be up to CDC, and I think a large part of what's going to happen, you know, we've been saying this since the beginning of the pandemic, it's kind of a, you know, quote-unquote fluid and dynamic situation. But when we see the return to cruise ship sailings in America this late summer and into the fall, it's really going to demonstrate a lot. I think the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have really been gaining a great understanding of the virus, the variants and mutations, and the effects of the vaccine on those. And I think, you know, it's going to be real telling, you know, when we have a safe cruise season up here in Alaska and other parts of the country this year, that's really going to determine a lot of what the CDC will require, because this really is all federal government requirements, what they may or may not require going into the 2022 season.
Mm-hmm. You know, we received another email from Catherine, and she brings up a discussion that has been playing out in a lot of port communities for a while now, but particularly, I think, in sort of the pandemic lull, we've seen it pick up, and that is the question about how much is too much in terms of tourists arriving in communities. So, you know, I don't know how much, Andrew, this is a discussion in Skagway, but do you feel like there is an element of the town who, you know, maybe isn't eager to see the ships return, or is it really pretty much just everyone is desperate for that part of the economy to get a jump start?
I think these conversations are not only necessary, but they end up being really fruitful. So I brought something forward at our assembly table a few months ago to send that conversation to Civic Affairs here in Skagway so that we could start having the conversation as a community. Not because we want to restrict the amount of people coming here or the amount of cruises coming here, but more for education purposes. A good example in Skagway, we have, you know, our Tuesdays have traditionally been the busiest days here, and we'll have, this is just passengers off the cruise ships, up to 13,000 people come off the cruise ships. Doesn't include crew, independent travelers, seasonal workers. Well, it puts a huge strain on our local infrastructure, especially in regards to our waste treatment facility. And we are going to have to either say, you know what, we have to have a daily cap of some kind, or we have to be willing to make a $10, $20 million investment into that infrastructure so that we can continue to support more people coming into town. I think if you were to interview most people in town, the issue is so complex, and, you know, it's one of those issues that people are going to react to emotionally, whether it be they're a business owner that relies on volume or they're somebody who is a Gold Rush family whose family's been here for over 100 years and they don't want to see the town compromised from what it used to be. And the emotional arguments are valid, but more importantly, the questions of, okay, how do we manage people better? If we're going to see an increase in cruise ship volume, how are we going to move those people away from the docks in a very small bottleneck-type situation so that we don't experience the negative side effects of, you know, having that kind of mass tourism? So, again, it's one of those things you get into where there's no easy answer. You could probably do a four-hour show about it and get, you know, myriad opinions. The reality of it is I believe having those conversations is healthy. Having them on a municipal level is extremely healthy because now everybody has a chance to voice their opinions and we understand the facts about what the repercussions are from any decision that's made. And I think that's a healthy way for communities to approach that question.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm sure the question's not going away and will continue as the cruise ships begin returning. Well, that is all the time that we have on today's show. Thank you again to my guests, Howard Sherman with Norwegian Cruise Lines Holdings, Brian Fisher with the State of Alaska, and Andrew Cremata with the Mayor of Skagway. We also earlier in the program heard from Fred Parody, Chief Operating Officer of Huna Totem Corporation. Thank you to our engineer today, Tobin Shelby, and our producer, Maya Wa'aina. On the phones, we had Abby Collins. Thanks for listening today. I'm Adeline Baxter. Take care.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.